Good morning. We're really excited to be here and it's an honour to speak to you today. We love speaking here. This has been my home church and a really safe place for me. For how long have I been here for now? 5 years? 5 years? I know. Doesn't it feel like a million for you, Laura? No, I'm joking. I heard a lot about this church from Jim before I came because we met in America. So when I came to visit, he like gave me the lowdown on you guys. And he was like, first of all, really good morning tea. Was it the ice cream slice? Is that what it was? Yeah, heard all about that. Yeah. Like really up there with Jesus. An experience of Jesus right there. And I heard that you guys were just heaps of fun. And you were kind and you just really loved doing life together. And normally, you know, when people talk up things, especially if you're dating them, you're like, sure, but Jim was right. You guys are awesome. So it's been a really wonderful time and a really healing experience for me to be a part of this church. So this is us. Jim will do his like, I don't know. He will explain about how he came to this church. But yeah, I'm just really lucky to have married in. And now we have Leo, who you may have seen very vigorously dancing with a scarf over here or pushing around a truck, which he normally does, which we just like, oh, he's interceding in the spirit, breaker anointing with that dump truck, just clearing out the atmosphere. But we're just really grateful to be here. Do you want to pray? Oh, yeah, I'll pray. God, we love you. We are so grateful to be here with one another. And while we really enjoy each other's company, we're really only here for you, God. As much as we like being a part of a really fun church family, we're here for you. And so we invite you in, God, this morning, to all the areas of our heart that we're so ready to accept your truth, and also give us grace to accept your truth in the areas of our heart that have been wounded or we've been afraid of. God, we invite you to bless us this morning, to bring us closer together, but also closer to you. Amen.
Hey, it's unusual for us to tag team preach. This is, thank you. We've done it a few times.
Made possible by your mum.
Made possible, yeah, by my mum.
Our main sponsor, Michelle.
But we felt like if we were preaching about being supernatural, obviously whenever we're preparing a sermon, like there's spirit-led preparation that goes into it. But we just felt like this morning we really needed to make some space and even take some risk in how we minister with you guys this morning. So hence there being two of us. I've been part of this church for about 20, 21 years around that. I think we came in 2002, 2003, something like that. So we've been here for quite a while. We are in the midst of a series at the moment talking about being overflow. And we're examining some of the distinctive, some of the things that we feel like the Lord has kind of made part of our calling as overflow, things that are kind of part of our DNA as overflow. So you can see up there some of the things that we've already spoken about, some of the things that we're going to be talking about. And today we're talking about being supernatural, which is kind of a broad distinctive because there is so much that is supernatural. There's so much about the Christian walk. In fact, I'd say all of it is supernatural. I just want to start with a verse and then I'm going to start with a story. But we're going to talk about 1 Corinthians 13 to start with. I'm just going to read sort of a chunk of scripture and then you'll see where we're going. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Does not demand its own way, it's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child, but when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I'll know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So we're talking about the supernatural, and we're going to be talking about some aspects of the supernatural, miracles, spiritual gifts, etc. But love is supernatural, and love is at the center of it. Loving like that is supernatural. We love because he first loved us, scripture says. We're enabled to love supernaturally because he loved us supernaturally. And all of the stuff we're going to be talking about, the spiritual gifts, all those aspects, they're actually manifestations of love. So I, as I mentioned, I've been in this church for about 20, 21 years. Prior to that, we went to some churches filled with beautiful, broken people, much like this church, much like every church, filled with people doing their best to follow the way of Jesus. And they were churches that had a more conservative view of what it meant to follow Jesus. I attended quite a conservative school as well. And I've not always been the paragon of morality that you now see before you. But I have always been a gatherer. And so there was this one class where we had this teacher who would regularly tell us how she didn't like kids, how she didn't want to be teaching, which was great, fantastic.
Sounds like Mrs. Trunchbull. Children are maggots.
Yeah, it was, honestly, it was a bit like that. And I was in grade six, and I've always been a gatherer. So I noticed that this teacher, she was a bit, what do you call it, like germ-phobic. Like she wouldn't touch a door handle without a tissue. So I had this idea. If we used all the tissues in her classroom, she'd be trapped. So I rallied the student body, spread the word, and we used every tissue throughout a class. We were all like, oh, there's a flu going around, ma'am. And we'd go and we'd use all the tissues. We use everything. Unfortunately, like we made it through the couple boxes on her desk, and she walks over to this huge cupboard, opens it, and it's just stacked, completely filled with tissue boxes. So I was defeated. But I was also found out, unfortunately. So I was in trouble. Thankfully, I didn't get the cane because they did do that at that school, which is wild because I'm not that old. But they sent me this homework assignment of like, I had to go and research in the Bible what the Bible said about obeying authority. And so I went, and it was probably one of the first times I'd really spent a chunk of time with my Bible. And I got completely distracted. I didn't really do a good job on the assignment. But I stumbled upon a couple bits of scripture that I was just like, hold on, how have I not heard this? How have I not come across this? I'll share two of them with you right now. The first one was John 14:12. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. I'd heard all these stories about Jesus, and yet here was Jesus saying we were going to do the same stuff as him, and in fact, more than that. And I was like, hold on, why is no one talking about this? And then I came across this one, Mark 16:15-18. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They'll cast out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They'll lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. Yeah, so I came across this bit of scripture that I'd not read before. And as someone who was in like year six at school, I was like, wow, that sounds really cool. Like, that sounds like the sort of thing that like, if my friends heard that that was happening, they'd want to know this Jesus. And so I went to our pastor at the time and I was like, dude, I've just come across this in the scripture. Like, why aren't we doing this? Like, Jesus says that we're going to do greater things than him. And he's doing all these miracles. So shouldn't we therefore be doing all these miracles? And like, wouldn't this be exciting? Wouldn't we have so many more people coming to church? And I just remembered this sense of excitement that I had as I went to this pastor. And this pastor, he pointed to this 1 Corinthians 13 that we read just before, and he said, this stuff's all passed away. This stuff doesn't happen anymore. And I was crushed. It was this moment where like I'd had this excitement for my faith, this excitement for the Lord. And it was unfortunately in that moment, it was crushed as I was told, this stuff doesn't happen anymore. Because what I heard was, God's not powerful anymore. God doesn't move anymore. Do you want to prophesy?
Yeah. Hey, Xander, I have a prophetic word for you.
Can you stand up
or do you want to come closer so people can see your gorgeous face? Can I say that? Am I allowed to say that? Oh, your mum says I can say that. I have a prophetic word for you. So I feel like I asked God, if you were an animal, what kind of animal would you be? And he said, you're like a bulldog, because when you hold on to something, you don't let go. And you're really strong and really powerful. And once you've made your mind up, no one can change your mind. Does that sound right? Is that a word of knowledge? Yes. So I feel like God is saying that that's one of your superpowers, that when you like become an adult and you go through your life, God's going to give you really clear things to know and to believe about who you are, who your family is, and what you're going to do with God. And he is really excited about that, because he knows that as you learn all the things, you'll hold on to them like the dog and you won't let them go, and that your stubbornness is a superpower with Jesus, So can I pray for you? Is that okay? Yeah. Is anyone, like, you can put your hands out or you can just pray with me, whatever works for you. Just partner with what we're saying. Oh, that's nice. God, we thank you for Xander. We thank you that he is strong and powerful. We thank you for the stubbornness that you put in him since he was a little baby, God, that he has gone from glory to glory with his strength and his stubbornness and that assurance in his heart of what's true. And as a family, we bless you, Xander, and we say, yes, you hear God and you know what's true. And we bless that to increase and increase and increase in your life, that you will just be a young person and a man of wisdom and knowledge, and that when God says go, you will go and you will just smash down anything in your path and you will hold on to his word. We bless you. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Xander.
Thanks, Xander.
Thanks.
I enjoy that you also, like, I don't know how much older I would have been than Xander in that. Sorry, I'm in the midst of telling. I would have been probably around a similar age. So yeah, I had that conversation with the pastor. I felt really crushed. And for me, it kind of meant that faith felt a bit irrelevant for a while. And then we moved here. We moved to Madawi. And I remember the first time we came to church, I remember sitting about in the middle there. The church service finished and some of the young people, I think it was James Cargill, for those who've been around for a long time, they came and they sat and they were talking to me, and James Cargill started to listen to the Lord for me, and he started to tell me what he felt like God was saying to me. He started to tell me about myself, like he started to tell me things that the Lord was saying about me. And for me, it was this moment where I was like, this is the stuff. Like, this is the stuff that I was reading about. This is the stuff that scripture is full of. Jesus doing the work of the Father. This is Jesus doing the supernatural. And so we started attending this church and we were seeing people healed. We were seeing people set free. I remember in youth seeing people starting to have demonic experiences, and they were taken up the back into a room that used to be there, and there was freedom that happened. We were seeing people set free. We were seeing people transformed. And for me, it was a like, this is what it's meant to be. We represent a powerful God. And the only way we can represent a powerful God is powerfully. The only way we can represent a supernatural God is supernaturally. And if we're doing it devoid of that, we're showing a powerless God. But we read that Mark 16:15. It says, and these signs will follow follow those who believe. These signs are meant to follow believers because we're God's representatives on earth and we're meant to be representing a supernatural God. Bill Johnson has this quote that I quite like. Jesus is the most normal Christian ever. We were hearing someone talk recently about how Jesus is actually meant to be the standard. But Jesus actually goes beyond that. He tells us we're meant to do greater works. So Jesus is kind of the benchmark.
But I think something that's really helpful for me is to know that this isn't about performance and this isn't about us trying harder. Like this isn't God saying, you're not enough. You need to do more cool stuff. This is about us growing in our understanding of who God is and the revelation of his heart for people. This isn't about pushing ourselves a lot. This is about encouraging each other and encouraging ourselves to grow and keep learning no matter what. And this is something that we're really passionate about. We work with people for our jobs. And look, I could tell people about the really cool spiritual experiences that I had in America, and people don't care. If you don't treat them with love and respect, people don't care. And I think that's probably why Jim put that love never fails verse in there, because it reminds us like we could be super awesome people like Ben Fitzgerald, where we walk through, we used to see him in Walmart in America. He'd just walk up to people and go, God says, and boof, they'd be on the ground and then get up free. Like I could be like that, but if I don't love that person, they've had an experience with someone that they don't understand, they haven't felt loved. Ben was super good at loving people, by the way. Yes, thank you. But so we're not just talking about going after like signs and wonders. We're talking about going after signs and wonders because it's God's heart. Like we want to capture God's heart for ourselves and for our community because his heart is love. He wants to release people. He wants liberty for people. He wants to resource people. He wants people to be set in families. So this is why it's important to us.
And this has been... this being supernatural, distinctive, I've had the opportunity, obviously, of spending time with Chris, but also of spending time with other people who've been in this community for a lot longer than us and have heard story after story after story of God's miraculous power at work through this church, that the focus on hearing God's voice, on healing, on miracles has been part of this church for, from what I can tell, as long as it's been going. This has been a distinctive that's been at the core of who Overflow is. So we talked about how this is for representing God, and he is a supernatural God who can only be represented supernaturally. And we were made for relationship with a supernatural God. The very reason we were created was to be in relationship with him, a supernatural God. So we were made to have a hunger for the supernatural. And you see that at work in the world, like... you turn on the TV and there's going to be ads for Reiki people, tarot, there's going to be supernatural kids shows. Like people have a hunger for this stuff because we are made to be in relationship with the supernatural God. And if the church are not representing a supernatural God, the world are going to go looking for that stuff elsewhere and they're going to find it. They're going to find a different form of it. The second reason that this matters is the common good or building up. So let's go to... we're going to go back into 1 Corinthians, but 1 Corinthians 12 this time. So a little bit earlier in 1 Corinthians, from 7 to 11. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. The supernatural, the spiritual gifts are how we represent a supernatural God to the world. They're how we represent his love to the world, and they're given for the common good. Spiritual gifts are actually meant to be serving the church. They're actually meant to be building up the church. It says also in Scripture that prophecy is for edifying and encouragement. It's for building up. Spiritual gifts are meant to serve the body. They're meant to strengthen the body. So this is a distinctive that matters because we want to be a healthy church. And a healthy church has these things operating healthily. Would you like to prophesy over someone?
Sure. permission to prophesy over you, Ava. Is that okay? Yeah. Ava, I feel like God is saying that he's really proud of you and he's really proud of you for all the times that you've really challenged yourself and been courageous with your studying. I saw you like writing things down, but I understand that that's archaic. You're probably doing this. But God speaks to old people too. And I feel like he's really proud of you the way that you wholeheartedly enjoy the things that you enjoy. Like, I just feel his happiness and his joy about that. Like, when Leo is super into Sonic and I'm like, I couldn't give two figs about Sonic, but I support that and I will watch all the shows with you because I love you. Like, I feel like God is the next level and he's just like, isn't this great? Aren't your interests the best? You have such good taste. So, can I pray for you? Ava, I bless you in this season because I feel like God is accelerating you and your identity in him to be increasingly wholehearted, increasingly courageous, and increasingly powerful, that God is giving you gifts of studying, gifts of speaking, gifts of like this supernatural connecting of things you really like and people that you like. Like, I feel like he's saying that you're actually a connector, and just because it looks different to other people doesn't mean it's not a thing. So I bless you with your courageous love for people. I see your courageous love for people and I bless it. And I feel like God is saying that you think that you're awesome now, just wait until this time next year, because you're going to be able to like see with more clarity how God's made you and how much you're loved and appreciated by others. So I bless you in Jesus' name.
Okay. So we talked about just two reasons why we feel like this being supernatural matters. And now I just want to talk about some of how we can do that as a community. What does that look like for us as a community and specifically in this season? So yeah, let's talk about being supernatural together. These are some of the ways that we get to do this together. One is obviously practice spiritual gifts. And I've used that word practice on purpose. We get to operate in these spiritual gifts for the good, to build up. They should always be done in love. We read that 1 Corinthians 13 passage. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul's talking about gifts. Well, he's talking about the spiritual, but he's talking about gifts as part of that. And he ends with, and now I will show you a more perfect way, more excellent way. And then goes into this 1 Corinthians 13 talking about love. The more excellent way for gifts to operate is love. So love needs to be at the core of how we do spiritual gifts. But Laura was also talking about how we've all been given gifts. And for us to be a healthy church, we need everyone bringing their gifts to the table. We need people bringing discernment to the table. We need people operating in the gift of faith. We need people operating in the gift of miracles, operating in the gift of teaching. We need all of these flourishing in order for us to be the healthiest church we can be. And practice is part of it. Like, we don't start, like, when we're learning to walk, we learn to walk and we fall over a lot. There's a process. We don't start sprinting, but we learn. And it's the same with these spiritual gifts. We get to practice them. We get to learn. We get to get it wrong. And we get to do that as part of community where it's healthy. Second way that we get, I feel like we're being invited to be supernatural together in this season is operating in healthy spiritual warfare. There's often two approaches to spiritual warfare that are the easiest to take. Ignore it completely. Pretend that none of that exists. Or be so focused on it that you think there's a demon under every rock. And it's like way easier to do one of those two than live in the tension. To live in the tension that this stuff is real, this stuff happens, there's demonic forces. But also, scripture is pretty clear that God won. That stuff's been defeated. That stuff still happens, but it's actually being defeated. That's what scripture says, that God's won. He won the victory. And then he's given all authority.
So when we talk about spiritual warfare, there will be a picture that comes into your mind. I don't know what kind of picture that is. It might be a strange one, depending on your experiences in church. That's okay. What we're talking about today, I guess, is being community, being family, being friends. And that means like we have each other's back. So if I come in and I see that going to use you as an example, Tina. Sorry. Thank you. Tina's having a rough time. I will go and check on her. And she, it's up to her how much she shares. But if I can see that something's going on there, I can pray. I don't even need to talk to you. I can just be like, Jesus, we bless her, da da da. But I can come and I can pray for her. And if she's really worried about something that's happening at work this week, I can set a reminder on my phone and I can pray for her at a specific time every day for that week. Or I can send her an encouraging word. And I know that's probably not a picture that we have when we talk about spiritual warfare, but it is spiritual warfare. I'm standing next to Tina and I'm saying, okay, I can't be with you, but I'll be with you and I'll be praying for you. And that's really where we can all do that, right? Yeah, we can all do that. We can all pray for the children that are in our church. We can pray for the people that are unwell. We can pray for the, what direction is it? School. So bad directions. And that's what we're talking about here. You know, it doesn't have to be like, I mean, I was just using silks, but like I don't have to get out my dancing flags and I don't have to like read 5 chapters of the book every day because I can barely read my own name at the moment with a toddler. Like I will have a conversation with God about how can I support that person, God? How can I love that person? Do you guys hear what I'm saying? Like it's the little things in life, right? Sometimes we can do big things, but really more often we can do the little things. And that's really powerful in God's kingdom because when we partner with love, when we are loved to someone, that's powerful. And that's supernatural because without God, I don't know about you, but I'd be a pretty crap person at loving people. Like, I'm just going to be honest with you. You know, I work with people for my job. It's been like 13 years and I've hit some walls and I've had to say to God, I need more of your love because I can't do it. And I don't know if you've had, maybe you're better at it than me, but we need to be supernaturally empowered by love, sometimes just to make it through the day. So you are more supernatural than you realize. If you've made it here this morning and you're thinking, I'll be with my church family in the morning in a pretty sweaty room that sometimes smells like gym equipment, I will be there. That is you operating in a spiritual gift. You are being spiritual by choosing love. Does that make sense? I think sometimes we super like overcomplicate it, but we just want to be present with each other. We want to be real and we want to be authentic and we want to love people. And that's what we do. Sure, I'll talk about prayer. I love prayer. And I mean, it fits in quite well. Prayer is really important. And I was grown up to, like I was grown up, that doesn't make sense. The way that I saw prayer happen when I was little was like really solemn and really boring. I don't know, my dad was an elder, so I had to go to lots of the boring stuff and I'm the oldest one, so I had to sit there because we didn't have iPads. And had nothing. I think I had a doll. and they were really boring. And sure, sometimes, you know, things are going to be a bit boring. But prayer is speaking to God. And it doesn't have to be flowery. It doesn't have to be fancy. You don't have to quote 17 Bible verses. It's just about coming to God and saying, God, I just feel a bit rubbish today. What do we do about it? Help me. What's the plan? Or it might be me going up, using you as an example again. Tina, I feel a bit rubbish this morning. Can you pray for me? And then because Tina's awesome and an amazing prayer, she'll cover me. She'll say, yeah, I'll pray for you. And it's not a big prayer. It's not like you have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to pray, you know, 17 Psalms over someone. It's really just holding them in your heart and blessing them and asking God, like, how can I bless them? Do you have some encouragement for them today? Like this is what it looks like to be a family, right? Doesn't have to be really, really hard. It's just about, I think pretty much all of you do that already. So like high five. Great job, guys.
So we want to do an activation together because if we're talking about being supernatural, if we're talking about practicing spiritual gifts, we should practice together, hey? As a church, I mentioned, hearing God's voice has been a really important part of who we are as Overflow for as long as I could see from talking to people who've been here longer. It's been really central because we need to hear God's voice. We need to hear him for ourselves, and we need to hear him for each other, because it enables us to love each other. It enables us to be together, to follow him, to live the way of Jesus. So we're going to practice hearing God's voice, and this might be completely new to you, or this might be something you do really regularly, and that is okay wherever you fall. We believe that God is good. We believe that God is loving. And so we believe that his voice looks like his nature. And if his nature is good and loving, then his voice is good and loving. So we believe that when he speaks, it is kind and it is loving. That's not to say that he doesn't sometimes do correction. He obviously does. But even that is loving. We're going to practice hearing God's voice in this moment where you're hearing God's voice for each other. This is not a moment to be bringing correction. this is a moment where we're going to listen to the Lord. And if you hear something encouraging, if you hear something loving, that's probably him. And if it's not, at worst, the person's going to be encouraged. So that's not a bad thing, is it? We're going to practice together. Keep it short. Keep it loving. Have I missed anything guideline-wise?
And remember that success with this looks like risk. You just giving it a go, okay? I'm just going to say it again in case there's any perfectionists here. It's probably not, but just in case. Success in this moment looks like stepping out and just having a go. Because even if you don't get it right, even if you feel like a dork, it's still a success because you're stepping into a new thing. Mm. When you learn to do something, you might feel a bit dorky. That's normal. That's a normal human experience, all right? Yes? Yes? Great.
Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. So we're just going to take a moment and practice hearing his voice. So if you could throw up the options slide. So we've got three options here that you can take.
Choose your own adventure.
Choose your own adventure. Catherine was telling me was it Pilates?
Yeah.
They have like different levels of stretches. Like if you have more experience, like maybe do this stretch. So we kind of came up with three different options for this activity, where one might be more stretching for you, and choose what is stretching but not painful for you. So first option, we kind of got Catherine to demonstrate these as we were going as well. She asked God, if Xander was an animal, what animal would he be and why? And then she asked God, what's one thing he's proud of for Ava? We didn't do option three, but...
He left anyway.
Oh, the person you had a word for? Yeah.
I'll get him later.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get you to jump into groups of four. And we're going to take the next little bit and we're just going to practice this. So I would just get you to jump into a group of four. If this is totally new to you, if you are not comfortable doing this, we'd love it if you had a go. But otherwise, why not just hang out in a group and maybe someone will hear the Lord for you. So just jump in a group of four and you can go around the circle, each take a turn or three. Or two. And if you are someone who has a lot of experience in this, who is likely to be picking option three, and also your partner has a lot of experience in this, could you be in different groups? Let's spread out the people with experience. So jump into groups, 2 to 4, and let's take a crack. So we are going to close the service in just a moment, but I just want to ask, I'm not going to ask you to say anything, so don't worry, but was there anyone who had not done that before who just did that for the first time? Just give me like a wave. We just want to celebrate risk. Yeah, awesome, woo-hoo! Awesome. Come on. That's so good. Yeah, let's celebrate that. Was there anyone who that felt scary to and you did it anyway? Maybe even if you've done it before, like... Is there anyone who that felt scary and you did it? Yeah, I saw some hands. Yep, fantastic. Let's celebrate that. We want to celebrate risk because that's part of how we grow in our ability to hear the Lord's voice. So we're just going to pray and then we're going to enjoy morning tea and enjoy being together. But be supernatural while you're together. Supernaturally love each other. why not ask the Lord? What he thinks of the person you're talking to over morning tea? I'm going to pray and then you can pray and then we'll eat some tasty food. Lord, I just thank you that you are a good God. I thank you that you are a good and real and powerful God, that you are not distant, that you are not unpresent, that you are not unactive, but you are powerful. We thank you that you are powerful and you are at work in our lives and in this place. And we just give you permission to be moving in our hearts, to be doing that supernatural work of transformation that you do. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just be giving us opportunities to represent you supernaturally. Give us opportunities to pray for people and see your goodness on display. And we just thank you, God, that you speak to us. We thank you that you are always talking, you are always speaking. We just ask that you give us ears to hear your voice, that you would just give us an upgraded ability to hear your voice for ourselves and also for each other. And just give us the boldness to share what we feel like you're speaking.
God, we ask for an increase in courage and wisdom as we go into this week, God, that we will be truth speakers to a world that is so hungry for actual truth, God, that we will hear your word and we will speak it, and that it will just become our first language, God, that we will be so good at speaking it, it will be our primary language. Just speak your truth wherever we go. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for coming. There's morning tea. We'll also, Catherine, myself, and I'm assuming Laura, will be available down here if you would like prayer. We'd love to pray for you. Thanks. Love you all. See you next week.